Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I'm Gurave Namaha. Om Paramagurave Namaha. Klim Gauraya Namaha. Klim Nityanandaya Namaha. Klim Advaitaya Namaha. Sring Gadadharaya Namaha. Sring Srivasaya Namaha. Shring Kling Radha Krishna Bhyam Namaha. Ong Tulasya Namaha. Sring Rang Sita Rama Bhyam Namaha. Lang Lakshmanaya Namaha. Hung Hanumate Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Sarva Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Vakibalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm dedicating my lecture tonight to an old friend of mine, Srinivas Murthy, and he has just undergone some very heavy surgery the last few days, and I am praying for his speedy recovery. I have known him since 1983, and last year he brought me to India, and I visited South India for the first time in my life. I spent 3 weeks with him touring South India, so I'm very much indebted to this good friend, Srinivas Murthy, and his family. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please rejuvenate Srinivas so that he may continue his devotional service in this lifetime. I have been asked by the management of this temple to come here once a month and lecture on a single chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We have studied the first three chapters, so this month is chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. We must remember what is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. By understanding the conclusion, then all the rest of the information will fit perfectly like pieces of a puzzle. So one should know what is that conclusion. And that conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is given towards the end of chapter 18. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchah. Krishna assures us through Arjuna that if we surrender to him, then he will deliver us from all sinful reaction. And Krishna reassures us that we should not worry, we should not hesitate, we should not fear, and we should not doubt. We should surrender. And the easiest simplest recommended way of surrender is to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So let us go now and do a quick summary of chapter 4. In a simple overview, chapter 4 is transcendental or spiritual knowledge, which discusses the soul, God, and their relationship. Such knowledge is both purifying and liberating, and it is the fruit of selfless devotional action, sometimes referred to as karma yoga. In this fourth chapter, the Lord reveals the remote history of the Gita, its purpose and significance, particularly of Krishna's periodic descents to the material world, and the necessity of approaching a guru or a realized teacher. I myself have broken out this fourth chapter into different sections as follows. In verses 1 through 3, we can understand who and how we can understand Bhagavad Gita. In verses 4 through 9, we get a glimpse into understanding Krishna's transcendental position. In verses 10 through 15, we learn how to achieve perfection. In verses 16 through 23, we get an understanding of the Sanskrit word karma. In verses 24 through 31, we understand yajna or sacrifice. In verses 32 through 35, we get the final instructions by Krishna on sacrifice. And then 36 through 42, the remainder of the chapter, is the subject matter at hand, the title of the chapter, Transcendental Knowledge. With that, we can now go into a detailed analysis of chapter 4. I would ask everyone to raise their hands and repeat after me the powerful 12-syllable mantra that was chanted by such great devotees as Dhruva and Chitraketu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you very much. And before I forget, after my lecture and after the arati, if anyone is interested, I have with me my Bhagavad Gita DVD, which was produced by Sriman Kamlesh Patel. Would you raise your hand, Kamlesh? He paid all the money to produce this DVD, and this DVD explains the entire Bhagavad Gita in a very simple and easy to understand way. It is nicely presented in English, and there is very nice graphics and pictures to support the different things. And you are encouraged to purchase this DVD for $20 to offset the cost of the production. So anyone who's interested can see either me or Kamlesh and get a copy of my Bhagavad Gita DVD. Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, please empower me that I may present your Bhagavad Gita as it is, as I am your disciple, please enter in my heart. And like you say, please let me be a puppet. Let me be an instrument that I can simply deliver the message of Krishna purely. So in the first verse of chapter 4, Krishna gives us the history of the Gita, that it was spoken many, many, many millions of years ago on the planet of the sun to the sun god Vibhiswan. And Vibhiswan gave it to his son, Manu, and Manu gave it to his son, Ikshvaku. And in this way, the Bhagavad Gita, by disciplic succession, comes down to human society. Bhagavad Gita was especially meant for the kings, the Rajarshis, who were meant to give protection to the citizens. So I went praying that I get the opportunity to give our President Barack Obama a copy of Bhagavad Gita so that he will come up with some good legislation guided by Krishna. Yes, I saw the picture. He, at least during the election time, he had one little amulet of Hanumanji. I saw the picture. According to the picture, you believe what you want. I like to judge by the fruits. Anyway, I would like to be able to give him a Bhagavad Gita and also a nice samosa. Because he'll need that also. Yes. In the second verse of chapter 4, Krishna points out to Arjuna why he's again speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. And that's because, according to Krishna, the transcendental science of Bhagavad Gita had been detected by Krishna as being lost. So Krishna felt the need to re-speak the Bhagavad Gita in human society because, to Krishna's perspective, the science as it is appeared to be lost. Then in verse number 3, very important verse. Who can understand Bhagavad Gita? And the big line, everyone repeat, Bhakto Sime Sakha Cheti. So these are the two qualifications anyone needs if they want to understand Bhagavad Gita. And notice, it's very clear. Bhakta Sakha. You have to be a devotee of Krishna and you have to be Krishna's friend. It has nothing to do with you being a big scholar. It has nothing to do with your material situation. These two qualifications anyone can get. There's no charge. You simply have to be these two, a devotee and a friend of Krishna. How to be a devotee of Krishna? Krishna explains that throughout Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya makes it simple, so simple. You want to be a devotee? Chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But these are the two things. To understand Gita, just be a devotee of Krishna and be Krishna's friend. In verse number 4, Arjuna has a doubt. Arjuna says to Krishna, you just said that you spoke this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god millions of years ago. But as far as I know, you and I are contemporaries. We are at this point maybe 120, 125 years old. How is it that you spoke Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago? I only know you now. So Krishna then explains his unique position. First he says, my dear Arjuna, you and I have appeared together many, many, many times in the past. But the difference between me and you, I remember all of my so-called past births but you cannot. This is the difference between God and us. We take birth after birth after birth after birth, but only in very rare circumstances can we remember. 99% of the human population, they don't remember what they were in the past life. But Krishna, because he does not change his body, we change our bodies. First lesson we learned in chapter 2, that we change our bodies as we change our clothes. Samsara, repeated birth and death. So we are constantly changing our bodies as we change clothes, as we change automobiles, as we change political parties, Republicans, Democrats, Republicans, cycle after cycle after cycle. So we are constantly changing, but Krishna remains the same. He may appear in so many different avatars, but he never actually changes his original spiritual form. Therefore, he remembers all of his births. Then Krishna explains after that his unique transcendental position, that he is not affected by this material world, and that when he comes, he doesn't come with a material body like me and you. This is another difference between us and God. That when Krishna comes, he comes as himself in his pure spiritual body. We come in a foreign dress known as man, woman, American, Indian, all these different forms of dress. But Krishna, when he comes, regardless of the avatar, he's coming in his original transcendental form, and it's not material. And this is significant because this points out that the form of Krishna is spiritual. Yes, everyone, when Krishna was on this planet in India 5,000 years ago, you will read in the Bhagavatam descriptions how Krishna looked. So everyone was seeing that form. It may have looked like a human form, but it was completely transcendental. This is the, like Kunti Devi said, the bewildering feature, that it looked like an ordinary human form, but it was completely transcendental. You study the Krishna Leela when he was a little child playing on the lap of his mother. Putana saw this little baby, but that baby was not an ordinary human baby. That baby was able to kill Putana. As 7 years old, Krishna had a seven-year-old, looked like a seven-year-old body, but he lifted Govardhan Hill and held it for 7 days and seven nights, and he wasn't taking steroids. So Krishna's body may have looked a certain way, but that body was supernatural, transcendental. Same way when Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna with rope, he was just a small child, but no matter how much rope she got, it was two fingers too short. She got all the rope, more rope, more rope, two fingers too short. That means Krishna was again demonstrating, I may look like a little child, but I am unlimited. I am Ananta. I am supreme. So this point of understanding Krishna's body, yes, this is so important. Krishna's body is not material. It's anti-material. You can see it. If you're there in the Krishna Leela, you can see it. The gopis were certainly touching the transcendental body of Krishna. And you'll read in the Bhagavatam how Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna and having so many pastimes with Krishna. So the form was there. It looked like a physical form, but it acted completely transcendental, supra natural, supernatural. That is the difference between Krishna and an ordinary living entity. Then Krishna explains when and why he descends. Why does God come? What business does he have coming here? He's in the spiritual world. He's with his loving devotees. He's with Radharani and the gopis and the cowherd boys. He's enjoying a non-ending festival. Why should he bother coming down here? He comes because he's very concerned. He comes when he sees that religion, his laws, have been contaminated. Glanir. There has been a discrepancy. There has been adulteration by humanity executing his laws. The laws of nature are Krishna's laws. That's why I've said many times, if someone doesn't like this concept that God is in control, then just say, okay, we all recognize that there are certain laws of nature. So those laws of nature, where they are coming from? They're coming from Krishna. So Krishna says, I come when irreligion becomes prominent and the true religious path becomes diminished. I have to come. And who does he come for? He comes for two purposes. To destroy, to take care, to wipe out the irresponsible, lawbreakers, demons. And he wants to give support. And he wants to nourish and maintain his devotees. And by his coming, he automatically establishes what is the real religious principle. We mentioned at the outset the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And notice, sarvadharman parityaja. When Krishna says sarvadharman parityaja, what he's saying is, now what I'm saying now, this is the ultimate religious commandment. That ultimate religious commandment is that surrender to me. So when Krishna comes, he establishes this Bhagavad Gita. He is establishing for future generations, for us in Kali Yuga, because the Bhagavad Gita was spoken at the end of Dwarapa Yuga, just before Krishna left. So the Bhagavad Gita is for the people of Kali Yuga, so that they'll understand what they should do. And if there's only one thing you can learn from Bhagavad Gita, it's this one. Give up all other notions of what is right and wrong and just surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Krishna explains what is the benefit of understanding him. When we understand Krishna, he says, Janma Karma. You should understand my transcendental birth and my transcendental activities. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, you get a very nice understanding of Krishna's birth and his activities. I highly recommend you read my spiritual master's book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that you will know scientifically what is Krishna's birth and activities. And that's why in this verse he says, tatvataha. Krishna says, you should understand my birth and my activities, tatvataha, in truth, scientifically. And that's why you should read Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. If you read that book, 90 chapters, you will understand, in truth, scientifically, Krishna's birth and his activities. And why? Why should you? Krishna says, if you do that, then you will not take birth again in this world. You'll not come back. Instead, you will go to my abode. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita his abode. It's inexhaustible. No need of sunlight or moonlight or electricity. Ah, no electric bill. Hari Bol. Krishna's abode. Lord Brahma says every step is like dancing. Every word is a song. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpara briksha. Lord Brahma and also Srimad Bhagavatam goes into a nice description of Krishna's abode. Just like, say you're going to go on a vacation. So before you decide on a vacation, you get a brochure. And you look at the brochure. No, I don't think we should go to Afghanistan. I don't think that's a good place to go for vacation. Let's go to Hawaii. You look at the brochure, right? Like, who's going to go on a vacation to the South Pole? What are you going to do there? Go in the snow? So in the same way, one should go to the spiritual world, but you have to read the brochure, the travel brochure. That's called Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you're interested, I will show you the chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam that will show you the travel brochure of why you should go to Krishna's abode. So if you want to go to Krishna's abode, Krishna says very simple, just understand my transcendental birth and activities. Krishna then says, Arjuna, what I'm telling you, this is not something new. Many, many people in the past followed this system. They have achieved perfection. It's not that this is going to be the first time. So many persons in the past have gone to my abode by following this principle. And then Krishna says, actually, everyone is on my path. Because Krishna says, I am the absolute truth. Everything comes from me. So everyone follows my path. And as one surrenders to me, I reward them accordingly. This is such a nice... This shows how God, Krishna, reciprocates with us. He says, as you approach me, I also reciprocate. And anyone who has sincerely chanted will also get this realization. Many times I am asked, just like this past week, I spoke in a high school. So the students, they want to know why it is that you chant this Hare Krishna for hours on end. And I explained to them, based on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna reciprocates. That as you chant sincerely, you get reciprocation from Krishna. I explained to the students, I'm American. I'm no different than you. I come from the same kind of family that you do. The difference is, I, back in 1973, started to sincerely chant. And I got this realization. As they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reward you accordingly. So as I try to sincerely chant, Krishna in my heart revealed so many things. And this process is still going on. I've been chanting every day for more than 2 hours, every day since July 15th, 1973. It is now 2009. So in July will be 36 years. So am I a fool that I'm going to do something every day for over 36 years for more than 2 hours and not get something from it? You think I'm a fool? You may think I'm a fool. That's okay. But I'm not a fool. I'm not going to waste my time doing anything unless I get something out of it. But this verse of Bhagavad Gita, I have much appreciation for that as we surrender, Krishna reciprocates. Even this last week, Krishna was rewarding me in little ways, showing me little secrets, little hints. And you know that that's true. Because last night I went to bed and I couldn't figure out a certain problem. So I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, Krishna in my heart said, okay, here's your answer. And sure enough, I did what Krishna in my heart told me, problem solved. I was spending so many hours yesterday trying to solve a particular problem. Couldn't get the answer. So I waited, and then Krishna, when he's good and ready, he said, okay. But I had to start the day by chanting. That's the first thing I do when I get up. As soon as I get up, I'm there chanting in my room, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And I don't chant too loud because I don't want to wake up my next door neighbor whose bedroom, my chanting room is here, and I know because I can hear my neighbor doing their nonsense. I hear them. So I said, I won't chant too loud, but I have to chant loud enough. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So every day I get up and I'm chanting, I'm studying, and before long, so many different ideas and so many clues and hints and solutions to problems manifest. So I understand this verse very clearly. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So based on my personal realization, I encourage you, chant and see how Krishna will reciprocate. Then Krishna then mentions how the caste system was instituted by him, but not the caste system that is currently in operation. No, his caste system was based on guna karma, not janma karma. The exact word in Bhagavad Gita, guna karma. That these divisions of human society, you can't avoid them. Some people are doctors. Some people are lawyers. Some people are engineers. Some people are businessmen. Some people are accountants. There is different inclinations. It's not all one. Imagine if everybody was the same. It'd be a boring world. Everybody was the same. So there are different inclinations, right? So these inclinations is based on the qualities of how a person works. And then in chapter 18, Krishna will go through a quick analysis. Here is how a Brahmin works. Here is how a Kshatriya works. Here is how a Vaishya works. Here is how a Sudra works. Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Then Krishna explains that if you understand the concepts of Bhagavad Gita and you apply them in your life, then you will not become entangled. Most people, when they do their activities, because they're not doing it in knowledge, what they're doing is simply entangling them in reactions of the modes of nature. But if you live your life by Bhagavad Gita, you'll not get entangled. Therefore, Krishna says, you should perform your duty, but you should do your duty according to knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna will explain a very interesting concept. This is karma, akarma, vikarma. Karma means activities which produce a good fruitive material result. Akarma are also activities, but they yield no good or material result. They yield a spiritual or transcendental result. And then there is vikarma. Actions which violate the laws of God or the laws of nature, and as a result, one suffers. If one does what is called pious activity, punya karma, the result, enjoyment. But that enjoyment is material. If one does akarma, transcendental or devotional activities, which is also known as bhakti, the result is liberation, and then beyond liberation, prema, love of God. But if one does vikarma, one becomes punished and one suffers. Now, there is a city which should be renamed. I am now going to rename it. The Karma Loka. Las Vegas equals the Karma Loka. Yes. They even say, hey, it's not my idea. They even say Sin City. They themselves say. So they're admitting, yes, Las Vegas is Sin City. Yes. See how Krishna is bewildering them. They're saying Sin City, and they're thinking, Jai, Hari Bol. Not knowing, ha, you're enjoying now, but in your next life, you're going to get it. You're going down, down to lower species of life. Chapter 16 in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very clear. Three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. When you go to Vikarma Loka, Las Vegas, that's all you see: lust, anger, greed. So it's very clear. It's scientific. Bhagavad Gita is scientific. And even the Bible says, as you sow, so shall ye reap. So I know you don't go. I know you don't. Right? You don't go to Las Vegas, right? Be careful. You come to this Radharaman Loka. What's going to happen? You're going to get liberated and you're going to get love of God. This is where we should be going as much as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's one point here that cannot be stressed enough. That akarma means devotional activity. See, a lot of people think akarma means no activity, but that's not what Bhagavad Gita says. Akarma means activities, yes, but they don't have any material reaction. They're devotional or transcendental activities. People think akarma means, oh, I'm not going to do anything. No. Even that, yes. Some people think that I will renounce my job, I'll renounce my family, and I'm not going to do anything. But still, we know from third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one is always active. You cannot remain idle. So you may externally stop all activity, but what about the mind? The mind is still going on. So even you're trying to artificially stop all activity to achieve liberation, you will not be successful. What happened to Vishwamitra? Vishwamitra stopped all activity for 60,000 years until he heard, and it wasn't Kartals, he heard the ankle bells. And he looked up and saw, oh, beautiful woman. So Prabhupada mentions this. Anything done artificially will prove a failure. So if you look at Bhagavad Gita, the soul by nature is active. So here you are artificially trying to stop yourself from activity, but your nature is to be active. So you're bound to fail eventually. This is also mentioned by the demigods, when they're praying to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, they came. Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. And they said that, my dear Lord, people sometimes think that by their austerities and penances, they have achieved a state of liberation. But these demigods said, but actually it's simply in their mind. It's an imagined state. And they will eventually fall down. They use the word patanti adha. So I do not doubt Lord Shiva. If Lord Shiva says something, I take it. So he said, along with the demigods, those people who think they've reached this stage of liberation, no. Avishuddha Buddhaya. Their intelligence is still not clean. And then they further go on. He says, but those who are attached to your lotus feet, my Lord, those who are rendering devotional service, they are securely liberated, secure in their liberation. And the demigods went on to say, even if a devotee falls down, the devotee still remains affectionately attached to Krishna, and eventually Krishna will deliver. Bharat. Bharat fell down, did he not? He took birth. He was the son of God, Bharat. His father was Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev is Vasudev, God. Here is the son of God. He fell down and took birth as a deer. But that doesn't mean he was finished. All right, you're a deer. Finished. No. He took one birth as a deer, but then, which was what I love about Krishna consciousness, as opposed to my previous religion, where you only get one chance. But in Krishna consciousness, you get chance after chance. So Bharat got another chance. And when he got his chance, he was very diligent. And he said, this time I'm not making the same mistake. And he achieved perfection 3 lifetimes. Pretty good. And there are so many examples of even a devotee falls down, Krishna, eventually the devotee will become delivered and saved because the devotee remains affectionately attached to his Lord. Therefore, as Krishna says at the end of 6th chapter, yes, be a devotee. The devotee is the best. Just be a devotee. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, after the discussion of action, reaction, sinful reaction, then there's the whole discussion of sacrifice, how there are different kinds of sacrifices. Householders do sacrifice, brahmacharis do sacrifice, and there's different ways, studying the Vedas, giving away of charity, performing severe penances, chaturmasya. But Krishna says that what's the goal of performing these sacrifices? The goal is to achieve the title of the chapter, transcendental knowledge. That's the goal of all these sacrifices. A lot of people, not just in Hindu religion, in all religions, they're doing so many rituals, but you ask them, why are you doing it? I don't know. My mother told me I had to do it. No, one should know the purpose behind the activities they're doing. When Krishna was arguing with his father about not to worship Indra, Krishna pointed out to his father that those who know all the intricacies of the sacrifice, they get the full result. So we should know the meaning behind the activities that we're doing. And that's why Lord Chaitanya made it so simple in Kali Yuga. That what is the recommended sacrifice for Kali Yuga? Hare Nama Eva Kivalam. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Who is the brilliant? Who is the most intelligent person? It's the person who has enough brains to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because that's the recommended sacrifice for Kali Yuga. It doesn't cost anything. How was it? Even if you don't have beads, you go to any Hare Krishna temple, I'll give you beads. So don't say, oh, it's, no. And even if you don't have beads, chant anyway. One time, the devotees were arrested and put in jail. And they took away their beads. So the devotees wrote to Prabhupada in Australia, Prabhupada, they took away our beads. We're in jail. What did we do? Prabhupada wrote back, just chant. So they chanted, and before long, get out of the jail. Get out. Chanting, well, I have so much experience of this. So much experience. I've said many, many times the story of how somebody tried to rob me. So I asked the devotee, what do I do? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! And the robber went away. So I have lots of realization about this Hare Krishna mantra. One time I was with a young devotee, and he was so disturbed in his mind, he was practically having a nervous breakdown. I said, Prabhu, don't worry. Go behind here and loudly chant. So he did that. He loudly chanted, and within a few minutes he came, hey, I feel great. I said, of course, this is Krishna consciousness. It works. It actually works. So Krishna then said that in order to understand sacrifice, then you should learn all the intricacies of sacrifice from a spiritual master. Somebody who is already expert in performance of the sacrifice. So, you know, my spiritual master is Srila Prabhupada, and I'm still learning from him the intricacies of performing sacrifice. Chanting Hare Krishna is a great science. Yes, it's simple, but I want to know all the intricacies of chanting. So besides chanting every day, I'm also studying Bhagavatam, Gita, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar. I'm studying as much as I can because I want to learn everything about how to perform this sacrifice of chanting. I want to know it perfectly. And what's so nice is that this knowledge in Srila Prabhupada's books is so, so nectarian. And I'm so happy somebody emailed me today, an old friend of mine, and said, I want to resume my studies of Bhagavatam. And I said, Jai Haribol, very good. And I told him that I will give him special blessings. Anyone who part, I have these, what is called home study programs. Anyone who is interested, I have several people, they do my home study programs. I have a Gita program, Bhagavatam program, and a Krishna book program. Anyone interested in participating, let me know. Because anyone who participates, then they become very dear to me. And they get extra special blessings. Now, I don't know. I've been told. You take it as leave it. I've been told my blessings are very good. So, and I don't charge for my blessings. Blessings are free. So everyone chant one time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Then Krishna said, so what is the result of learning from a spiritual master? What should you learn? And Krishna explains, what you will learn is that all living beings are in Krishna. Krishna is in them, and everything and everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. This is the vision of the absolute truth, that there is nothing separate from Krishna. Everything, whether it be the material energy, the spiritual energy, everything you see and touch is simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. When Krishna met the gopis at Kurukshetra after many, many years, Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 11 and went to Mathura and killed Kamsa and then rejoined his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, and then married Rukmini and then married 16,107 other wives only. And so he never returned to Vrindavan. So after many, many years, after Krishna had grandchildren, the residents of Dwaraka met the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. There was a solar eclipse. Kurukshetra, which would soon become the scene of the speaking of Bhagavad Gita and the Mahabharat war. So there was a private talk between Krishna and the gopis. And the gopis were expressing and lamenting how much they felt separation. And Krishna said, there is no separation. Why is there no separation? Krishna said to the gopis, because I'm all pervasive. If you think there's separation, that's an illusion. Because there is no separation. Everything you see and touch is me, Krishna. It's my energy. Just like, let's say I go to your house, right? So as soon as I enter your house, can I say anything belongs to me? No. It's your house. Of course, you're going to say, no, Prabhu, it's Krishna's house. I know. But legally, it's your. If I take even one item from your house, you could have me arrested, right? Because it's your property, okay? So the same way, a devotee sees everything Krishna's property. Everything. Even his own body. Even this body. Huh. It's Krishna's property. Therefore, this is the vision. Vidyadhani asampane brahmane gavihastani shunichaiva satake cha pandita. The really learned person knows and understands. Anything I see, it's Krishna. When I was driving here, one of the rare days, because of the rain, you could see the beautiful mountains. I was thinking, this LA area is actually beautiful. But because of all the smog, you never get to see it. Thank God for the rain. And you remember last month, I predicted that we would have rain. See, I told you my blessings work. Now some of you are saying, hey, there's too much rain. We're going to get more tonight. But the idea was I was driving and I saw the beautiful mountain range. Immediately I remembered, ha, just see how beautiful Krishna's creation is. So a devotee, no matter what he sees or comes in contact with, it reminds him of Krishna. And what's the stage I want to get to? The stage that I want to get to is that when I look at you, I actually see Krishna in your heart. That's the stage I'm working towards. That I look at you and I see Krishna manifest in your heart. Until that time, I have to worship the deity very, very strongly. The whole purpose of deity worship is to get to the point where I see Krishna in everyone's heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So the last portion is all about transcendental knowledge. And transcendental knowledge, Krishna says, is so sublime and very purifying. And transcendental knowledge burns up all reactions to sinful activities. This is how powerful is transcendental knowledge. So therefore, I recommend, please read Bhagavad Gita every day. Before going to bed at night, before going to bed, chant one shloka. That's the best way to go to bed. Chant one shloka of Bhagavad Gita or watch my DVD before going to bed. Right? And you will get so much transcendental knowledge, and that transcendental knowledge will fill your heart. That's why Lord Chaitanya says in his first prayer, he has eight prayers. In his first prayers, he says, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. That transcendental knowledge, what is the life and soul of this transcendental knowledge? The life and soul of this transcendental knowledge, it comes down to the innermost, chant the holy name of the Lord. Surrender. Transcendental knowledge will fill your heart just like the sun, right? Lights up everything in the daytime. When you have transcendental knowledge, it will diffuse your whole existence and you'll actually feel and display very nice effulgence coming from your heart. Therefore, I urge you, read Bhagavad Gita and chant Hare Krishna. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the goal of transcendental knowledge is to become free from the reactions of sinful life, to surrender to Krishna, and the goal of surrendering to Krishna is to develop love.